It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain.
Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I am glad that you are with us today. It's Friday. Fridays are always great days, no matter what. Just push back on all the distractions and listen for our Heavenly Father's words to us. And today we are going to do something a little different. We're going to talk about the book that we've just published, The Missing Link, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But let me first remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. And if you go to 721ministries.org, you'll find out all about us. We have tools on that. We have things you can access and interact with. And then our other website, our puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com. And on that website, you can find our books. And our latest book, The Missing Link, Learning to Live in the Power of the Holy Spirit, is what I want to talk about today. So in a twist, I've asked our producer and my friend Gary Miller to actually interview me about the book so that I can talk to you about how important this book is. It's a serious book, and yet it's a fun book to read. So, Gary, if you don't mind, take it over.
Thank you, Sam. I am looking forward to this. Now, before we get started, because I want to get to the book, but before we do that, Sam, I thought it'd be good if people really got to know a little bit about you and the ministry. So here are three quick questions that'll kind of set the stage. When and why did you start 721 Ministries, and exactly what does that name mean?
Okay, well, that is a good start, and because it will tell you, give you an idea of why I wrote this book. We started 721 Ministries in 2004, Gary, and I can assure you I never intended to be in men's ministry. I never thought I would be involved in full-time ministry, but I started teaching young adult Sunday school classes, and there was a lot of different churches that I would visit around South Carolina. And in all those classes, I would look out at the couples, and I would see, and they were my age, and they were sort of my socioeconomic level, and I would see the men not paying attention. I'd see the ladies, for the most part, paying attention, but the men were not. They were checked out. And these were good men, and they were showing up at church practically every Sunday, really. They were doing their best to hold their families together, to keep their jobs going, to provide. But they had no interest in knowing Jesus, and that nobody told them that there was more than just showing up on Sunday mornings, and it broke my heart. And so more and more I felt compelled by a lot of different sources, but compelled to form a men's ministry so that I could have an opportunity to directly speak into these men's lives. Because what we have found is if you change the man, you change the marriage. You change the marriage, you change the family, you change the family, you change the future. And if you change the future, then you're going to ultimately change our culture. So we focus on men's ministry, and we do it because that's what I'm called to do, but also because I know if we can change the men, we can change the marriages, we can change the cultures. Because typically the ladies have it mostly right, especially when it comes to relationships and that sort of thing. Now, the 721 Ministries comes from Matthew 7, 21, 22, and 23, where Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." That ought to be scary enough. "But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." And that passage captures the men that I deal with. Gary, they are going to show up on Judgment Day with a resume, and they're going to talk about, instead of the demons that they drove out and the prophesying in their name and performing many miracles, they're going to talk about their work they did at church. They're going to talk about serving on the Sunday school committee, teaching Sunday school, cooking pancakes for the men's breakfast, working on Habitat for Humanity, being a good member of the Rotary Club, the Sotoma Club, or whatever, and they're going to hand that resume to Jesus thinking that's what he's looking for, and he's going to say, "No, you did all that because it made you look good or feel good or it satisfied some checklist sense of religion that you have, but I don't know you. Away from me, you evildoer." And the one last thing I would comment that compelled me to start 721 with several friends to help was that when you read Jesus' parables about people who end up in heaven or hell at the end of the parable, the one thing that the people have in common who end up in hell is they're all surprised. They're all shocked. And that should be a warning sign to all of us that, am I going to be surprised on that day?
I tell you what, Sam, that is something in the fact that there are no second chances.
Yes.
We need to make the decision now.
Yes.
I love that. Now, this is your new book, but before we talk about that, you've done a couple of other books, is that right?
Yes. We have two what we call Putting Green Devotionals, Volume 1 and Volume 2, and they're set up like as golf tournaments with 4 days and 18 holes per day, the 18 devotions, and so a total of 72 devotions for each book. They are not intended strictly for men, and not intended strictly for golfers. But we set it up in that format because so many men that I deal with are golfers, and I thought that would be a cute way to go about it. But these, Volume 1 and Volume 2, we have sold a lot of these books, a lot, and we consistently hear back, this is really good. This is really good. So we have those two devotionals, puttinggreenblog.com. You can find those. They're great gifts, and they're great morning devotionals.
All right, and the name of this book is The Missing Link. Now, your journey with Peter from self-power to the Holy Spirit power. Why a book on Holy Spirit power?
Okay, that's a great question, and I love to answer that question because it's why I was compelled to write this book, and really three reasons. The first, I'll start with what the Scriptures say about the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples on his last night with them, that they'd be better off with the Holy Spirit than they would be with him. That is an astounding statement in and of itself. He told them that they will do greater things than he did because of the Holy Spirit. He also told them in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about a divine power to demolish strongholds. So I see this in the Scripture. But I look around and I don't see any of that in the Christians around me. I didn't have it myself for years. And at the beginning of the book, The Missing Link, I have a parody, a chapter at the very beginning about two Chinese Christians that come to America. They finally get a chance to come to America, and they want to find out what these Christians with the Holy Spirit power look like, because they've read Acts and they've heard Jesus' words, and so they come to specifically see what Christians living with the Holy Spirit look like, and you can imagine the results of that. So the first one was what the Scriptures say, and the second reason is I look around me, I see no one living that way. I see Christians who are tired and who are worn out, and they're doing the best they can, but they're trudging through life. They don't have any sense of anything like a Holy Spirit power that they could live with. They probably, if they've even, they've certainly been taught about the Trinity, but there's never been a life application of the Holy Spirit that would actually get into the details of their lives. I've had, when we talk about this, and men who have read this and ladies who have read this book, they come back and they say, I've never heard about this teaching before. I mean, sure, I've heard about about the Trinity, but not actually living with any power from the Holy Spirit. That's reason number two, what I see around me. And then my own experience would be the third reason. I was born again in 1995, but it was years before I began to understand anything about the Holy Spirit. And when we started 721 in 2004, I was burned out in 2007. And we were doing about a quarter of what we're doing now. But I was living in Sam's power. My intention was good, but I was doing it all in my own power. And around 2007, I started to try to understand what leaning into the power of the Holy Spirit would look like in the day-to-day details of my life. But it still took till about 2011, 4 more years, before I really started to lock into it. And since 2011, I now live day in and day out with this energy, this clarity, and this creativity that we talk about in the book that comes with living with the power of the Holy Spirit.
A book on the Holy Spirit power.
Yes.
But you call it The Missing Link. Yes. Why did we title it that?
Well, because the Holy Spirit, we see Jesus' promises, and then we look around and we don't see those promises being lived out. So there's a link that's missing. We might think the link is Jesus, We might think the link is Scripture, but the link, the missing link, is the Holy Spirit. We have missed this power that we have available to us to live this life to the full, and the missing link is the Holy Spirit.
All right, now that can be kind of controversial because someone may say, well, how does one know if they have the Holy Spirit?
That's a great question, and I don't mean to. I'll answer it in the way that a friend of mine answered it when I asked that same question. He said, would you know if you got knocked across the knees with a 2x4? You know, and that made the person that asked the question mad, so if it makes you mad, I'm sorry. But Jesus put it this way in John 14:19. He said, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Well, Eugene Peterson puts it like this in the Message. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I am alive, and you're about to come alive. At that moment, and Gary, that moment is when you're born again, you will know absolutely that I'm in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. The eyes of your heart will be opened up. The Word of God, the Scriptures, will come alive, and you will start to understand. That's one of the most common traits that we see with people who have been born again, and the Holy Spirit is moving. Now, again, we're not talking about supernatural powers, although that may be part of someone's experience. We're not talking about talking in tongues, speaking in tongues, which may be part of someone's experience. We're talking about your eyes being opened, a shift inside, and suddenly things start to make sense. And you can read the Scriptures, and it follows, because in 1 Corinthians 2, we see the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Before I was born again, I read the Bible twice. It meant nothing to me. I might as well have been reading a history book. Seriously. Once the Holy Spirit moved in, and again, there was no fireworks and I was not falling out on the floor crying. It just, there was a sudden shift. And once the Holy Spirit moved in, the Scriptures came alive. And things started to make sense. And my eyes were open. So, my friend listening, I don't mean to offend you. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll know you have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will speak into your own heart and tell you that. We see that in Romans 8. Just go back and read Romans 8. And you'll see that the Spirit will speak into your spirit. And you will know that He is inside of you.
We're talking today with Sam Hunter about his new book, The Missing Link. And Sam, why have Christians missed this, it seems, so badly?
Well, when was the last time you heard a helpful sermon on living with the power of the Holy Spirit?
Been a while.
So few are teaching on this. And if I were to be a little caustic, I might say, and likely because they don't have a clue about this Holy Spirit power either. And as I said earlier, the men in our groups around South Carolina, they constantly say to me, well, nobody's ever taught me this. Certainly I was taught about the Trinity, although I don't understand it. I was taught about it, but no one has ever gotten into the details, gotten into the weeds of my life and said, there is a power that you're missing. There is a Holy Spirit power that you can live with that will change the way you live. It's that, I'll come back again, energy. A newfound sense of energy, clarity, a newfound sense of clarity, your eyes of your heart are opened, as we said, and creativity, to where you're now handling things, relationships, business situations, with a sense of creativity because it's coming from the Holy Spirit and not your tired old self. So I think people are missing it because no one's really teaching it.
Well, tell us about your own experience of living with Holy Spirit power.
Well, and I want to keep coming back to, I haven't spoken in tongues. I have friends who have. I've observed it. I'm not against it at all. It's one of the spiritual gifts. But that's not what's happened in my life. What has happened in my life is it's really just like Peter. And that's why I really want you to read this book, The Missing Link. Because we follow Peter and the other apostles as they try to figure this out. Imagine, put yourself in Peter's place, because that's what we do in the book. We follow this through Peter, and it's in the first person, and we get to hear his thoughts, and even have conversations. We create, it's entirely biblical. We follow the book of Acts. We drift back into Peter's sometime memories of what happened in the Gospels. It's entirely biblical. But we create some conversations where you can see these and follow along with these apostles, Peter and the apostles, trying to figure out what to do with 3,000 new converts, with a whole new church. Jesus is gone. The Holy Spirit came in. Now what do? We do step by step, day by day. And my own experience reflects that. It's like Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. And verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit. And then verse 25, if you keep in step with the Spirit. And then 2 Peter 1:20, Peter says, the prophets were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So for me, it started first by walking with the Spirit. And this started back in 2007. And it was a pretty feeble attempt. I was reading about the Holy Spirit. I was trying to become more aware, but I kept trying to just walk each day out and learn how to lean into. And as I mentioned earlier, I was exhausted in 2007. We were not doing a radio show. We were not producing any books. We had half the number of men's meetings we had. There was so little going on. But I learned to walk by the Holy Spirit, just walk. And then to be led by the Spirit. And if someone is going to lead me, I have to slow up and let them go out in front of me. So from 2007 to 2011, I'm learning to be led by the Spirit, to walk with the Spirit. And as that momentum picked up, Gary, then as Galatians 5:25, then I got in step with the Spirit. So if you're listening to me today, if you can imagine yourself walking step by step with Jesus, you're in tandem with the Holy Spirit. He's moving and you're moving at the same time. And that started moving in my life from 2011 on. And then the more I leaned into the power of the Holy Spirit, the more I asked the Holy Spirit to be a part of my day, to be a part of what I was doing, I started to be carried along by the Holy Spirit. I felt a sense of momentum, somewhat like drafting behind a bicyclist, drafting behind a truck. I was drafting behind the Holy Spirit, and it was as if I was being carried along. So now, in 2020, with so much more going on than we've ever had before, I don't ever get tired. I don't ever get fatigued. I love what I'm doing, and the creativity and the energy that comes from the Holy Spirit has just been amazing.
Well, this story, The Missing Link, is told from Apostle Peter's perspective, and somebody could think, well, why not Paul's perspective? Mm-hmm. Why did you choose Peter?
Well, I will tell you that first off, I read Larry Hutzberger's excellent book, The Fisherman, and he did the same thing. So, and I actually met Larry, and I asked him, why don't you write the sequel to this? And he said, no, why don't you? So I picked Peter because Larry Hutzberger and The Fisherman picked Peter. But Peter's also so human, isn't he? I mean, he's really every man. He's just every man. But even ladies can enjoy reading this because we're all human, and he's so human. He's so real. One minute he's blasting out, you're the Messiah, and the next he's saying, no, it's not going to happen to you. And he's being told to get behind him. Get behind me, Satan. He's a perfect example for us to follow, and that's what we do. We put ourselves in the place of Peter. We watch how he goes through the experience of understanding how to live with the power of the Holy Spirit. And ladies, you'll see yourself in Peter because you're human and he's human. In a kind of a little twist, you're likely to see your husbands in Peter too, and perhaps then you'll have a little more grace towards him. But The Missing Link is written for the human condition because we all tend to seek out our power and our way, even the nicest of us, and Peter does that himself, and he's such a vivid example of this.
All right, tell us a little bit about the book itself. Is it a devotional book or is it a novel? What is it?
Okay, well, if I said a novel, that would give the sense that it's fiction, and it is really historical fiction, if you wanted to say that. It's a narrative. You can read this as a daily devotional because we have split it up into short segments. The chapters aren't long, but we've even got some headings inside the chapter. So you can really read The Missing Link as a daily devotional, or you can read it as what I call a travel novel. And again, it is really, ladies and men can read this and get out of it. It's actually, you could call it novel form, but it's historical novel because each section follows the book of Acts, and we follow Peter and the other apostles as they learn to live with the power of the Holy Spirit day in and day out. And what we do is we have encounters with John and conversations with John and Paul and Matthew and Andrew. We put them in the situations that they find themselves in the biblical narrative through Acts, and we have them teaching the followers as well as conversations amongst themselves, and we watch them because this is a can be a devotional, but it can also be what I call a travel narrative. We watch them as they learn through their own experience how to live and lean into the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important to read this book, because you will not learn to live with the power of the Holy Spirit just by reading about it in the Scriptures. You must experience it, and you must experience the Holy Spirit daily. You must see Him moving, and then lean into His power, and then lean into your own power and see how that doesn't work, and then lean back into His power and have that hit or miss until it becomes more constant. And that's exactly what Peter does himself.
All right, let's get down to it then, Sam. What does it look like to live with the power of the Holy Spirit? In fact, how would you best advise our listeners to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit?
Now, that is where we want to get to, isn't it? That's where the rubber meets the road. And what would it look like to live with the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, it would look like Jesus, quite frankly. Jesus had a calm, relaxed pace. He was not white-knuckling. He was not hurrying His way. He never gave the sense of any anxiety or being frenetic. Yet, He had a pace. He had things He was doing every day. But as Dallas Willard said, the one word that describes Jesus more than any better than any other word is relaxed. And so living with the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be more relaxed, you'll be more calm, you'll have that relaxed pace, but you will have a pace. And you'll have a sense of energy. And I'm telling you, it's real. This Holy Spirit energy is real. I'm living it. You will have a sense of energy, you'll have a sense of clarity, and you'll have a sense of creativity. And we talk about this at great length in the book. And at one point, we have Peter and the other apostles teaching about these four words, which is sort of, in my view, the procession, how we proceed, because it is a process. See, seek, want, and wait. See, seek, want, and wait. We have to see that the Holy Spirit is real around us. We have to seek Him. We have to want Him to be involved. And then we have to be willing to wait on Him to be involved. And I call one of the chapters the weight of wait. The weight of wait, W-A-I-T, because it's so hard to learn to wait.
Once again, we're talking with Sam Hunter about his new book, The Missing Link. So, Sam, tell us some examples, some teaching lessons that you'll find in The Missing Link.
Okay, because we're following Acts, you'll see, as we go through Acts, you'll see Peter and John being arrested. And one of the teaching lessons there is, do you react in fear or respond in faith? Do you react in fear or do you respond in faith? We see the apostles struggling with forgiveness because they are being persecuted. So we have a lesson and a chapter on forgiveness. We see the disciples trying, for instance, when the Greeks come and say, hey, this food thing is not working out. Our widows are being overlooked. We see Peter and the disciples gather together and say, look, we can't be distracted by this, because that's what Satan wants to do. We cannot be distracted by the busyness of this, so let's delegate to seven deacons. So we follow that through, and then we teach the lesson of busyness is Satan's number one tool. And so we teach how to avoid letting busyness overwhelm us. One of my favorite is in Acts 15, you know, the Jerusalem Council, where they all come together to try to understand how do we incorporate the Gentiles. And our lesson on leadership is you listen, you learn, and then you lead. Leadership is about listening, learning, and then leading. So if you read Acts 15, you'll see the big discussion and then Peter listening, learning, and then speaking up, and James doing the same thing.
All right, Sam, your books, are they only for men, or tell us about your other books. Okay. Who are they for?
We mentioned this earlier, and even though 721 is a men's ministry, I crafted these books to speak to all of us, to speak to men and to women. And as I mentioned at the beginning, we have these two devotional series, the Putting Greens, Volume 1 and Volume 2, and they've been very well received. And I encourage you to go to the puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com. We have them on Amazon, and we have the Kindle version. But we have these two, the Putting Green blog, the Putting Green devotionals, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And then we have this latest book, The Missing Link. And all of them are written for a broad audience. And we've gotten such great reviews back from these. And it's very encouraging to have one have someone send me an email and say, this is showing me I never understood that I could live with a new power. And this is showing me. And then I'll get reviews that'll say, this is actually a fun book to read. I mean, not only is it instructional, but it's fun. Because Sam has crafted this in a conversational narrative to where it's not a textbook. It's a everyday living it out book. And so we have all three of these books set up so that you can actually apply them. You know, I sometimes think I would put a subheading under 721 Ministries, Applied Christianity. You know, like Applied Chemistry, Applied Christianity. Because my entire focus is that you learn to apply this to your day in and day out details of your life. How to live with a new sense of energy, clarity, and creativity. Don't you want that? Don't you want to have that sense of energy, clarity, a newfound sense of clarity? You're not, the fog is lifted. You're more energized. The anxiety is mitigated. Your white knuckling is mitigated. And then this creativity. If you have teenage children, you need creativity. If you have a husband or a wife, you need creativity. If you have a business, you need creativity. Whatever you're involved in, you don't want to do it the same old tired way. And the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised, will come in and move in the details if you will see Him, seek Him, want Him to be involved, and then be willing to wait on Him to move in your life. I want you to learn to live with the power Jesus promised. Gary, thank you for that. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Talk, His Radio Network, or the Radio Training Network.